Good morning. My name is Malawi Garcia Vega. I'm the Assistant Director at the NCLR Cal State Long Beach Center for Latino Community Health, Evaluation, and Leadership Training. So I want to make sure to incorporate all of our titles and all that we do at the center. I'm going to be discussing Hablando Claro, translated as to Clear Talk, an intergenerational approach to HIV/AIDS prevention, and specifically the role of promotoras as agents of change for promoting Latino communities, healthy Latino communities. I have no relationships to disclose. Just quickly, our funding agency and project staff. This project was made possible by the Office on Women's Health. It started out as a 1-year project, turned into a 5-year project, and just recently got cut down to 3. So it's really interesting to see how funding is changing, especially in HIV/AIDS prevention. Project director is Dr. Britt Rios-Ellis. I don't think she's here yet. She's a professor of health science at Cal State Long Beach and director of the NCLR Center. Dr. Lilia Espinoza is our project evaluator. Assistant project coordinator and pretty much ran our intervention, Natalia Gadula, she's in the back. And then we also had a behavioral health therapist on staff, and she was really needed. Also, we had a team of 6 community health workers and 3 research assistants. 2 were undergrads and 1 was a graduate student. So why focus on Latinos or Latinas in general? In 2007, Latinos comprised of 15% of the U.S. population, but were 19% of the incidence of AIDS cases and 18% of HIV cases overall. Latinas represent 16% of all new infections in 2009, which was a rate 4 times higher than that of white women. As far as adolescents, they accounted for 19% of AIDS cases among teens and 23% among 20 to 24-year-olds. And in LA County, where our intervention took place, 67% of Latinos had less than 1 year between learning their HIV status and being diagnosed with AIDS. So we can see that there's a lack of prevention and awareness in this community. So what are the risk factors for Latinas? Number 1 risk is male partners. So what does this mean? Either there's some type of infidelity going on, it came in before the, they were a steady partnership, or also injection drug use. Interpersonal and social cultural factors, which can include traditional family values, religion, just different things that go into Latino culture. Stigma regarding HIV and testing. No one thinks that they should be testing for HIV or what, they don't really have any risk factors, especially women who are married and steady relationships. Being Latino, especially with all the anti-immigration stuff going on now in the U.S., and also sexuality. And of course, socioeconomic factors, specifically lack of access to health insurance. HIV testing in Latinos, we know that Latinos believe that they are automatically being tested during routine doctor visits, which is not the case. They test late in the course of their HIV infection. Women usually test when they find out their partners have been infected or when they become pregnant. They again have a diagnosis of AIDS within 1 year of learning their HIV status. They die within 18 months of learning their status at times. And they're more likely again to lack health insurance and access to care. And also, sometimes the language issue is important when it comes to trying to access care and testing. So to address this issue, again, we applied for funding through the Office of Women's Health to reduce the risk of HIV infection among Latina teens. So they were focusing on intergenerational pairs, so 12 to 18, and their mothers, aunts, or grandmothers. And also to focus on families, specifically with female immigrants who are more likely to lack access to culturally and linguistically relevant HIV/AIDS education and prevention, which we see through the rates of infection and late diagnosis. So our objectives, we set out to increase the use of condoms, which is not the case for many Latinas, especially in steady relationships, intention to delay sexual onset or reinitiation for teens, knowledge related to HIV risk reduction, intention to perform HIV risk reduction behaviors, communication within the family, not just with their mothers, but also with their fathers and also with partners, intention to test for HIV, and also to increase the number of participants who engage in HIV testing. So we provided HIV testing through a mobile unit that came to all of our interventions. Our research design, we were going to be doing a control group our last year of the project. Because of funding, we were only able to do the quasi-experimental design to test the intervention. And we developed a bilingual intervention and curriculum using CBPR methods and also employing the community health outreach model, which employs community health workers that we call promotoras. So our project design included review of evidence-based interventions. The Office of Women's Health wanted us to look at another program from the CDC. We looked at Teen Health Project because it incorporated some of the same themes that we were going with, especially working with mothers and daughters, and it was a community setting. We also conducted focus groups in LA County to make sure that our intervention was applicable to our community. We adapted the Teen Health Project models based on what we learned from our focus groups and other programs that we've implemented in LA County. Again, we did CBPR techniques and also pilot tested the intervention, and to date it still isn't finalized because you always find something new, something you want to change, something you want to add. As far as the implementation, it became a one introductory session where they did consenting, pre-knowledge, and an overview of HIV/AIDS, and then the participants came back usually a week after to do another four-hour interactive educational session, and then came back usually a week later for the second piece of that. And then they also participated and really enjoyed monthly support groups where we reinforced the educational topics and then also brought in other things that participants were asking for. So one of those topics was self-esteem and like body image. The mothers were asking for that for their teens, so we made sure to incorporate that. This is our team of promotoras actually standing in front of our office at Kelsey Long Beach. As far as the promotoras in our project, again, I said we hired six. We hired them as university employees, which really, I think, made them feel really confident about their involvement in the project. A lot of the times people hire community health workers, but technically hire them as volunteers, and sometimes they don't get paid, which I think also leads to just the lack of effectiveness in programs because they don't really feel like they're valuable assets to the projects. And they usually completed about 15 to 20 hours a week, depending on the phase, either at Cal State Long Beach, working in the office with us and our research assistants, or in the community setting, recruiting or implementing the sessions. And some of the characteristics of our promotoras, they're really well known in their communities through their work, schools, parent groups, community centers. They're knowledgeable about community programs, meetings, and events. They know where things are happening, when they're happening, who's going to be there. They work really closely in Long Beach with the Long Beach Health Department. They're trusted by the community, which allows for recruitment. They're outgoing and inviting to others, and they serve as resource persons for their community. So the role of the promotoras within Hablando Claro, they really helped to develop the entire intervention. So they were there through the development phase, assisting with instrument development. They reviewed the language, the level, the word clarity. Sometimes we work with people from Mexico, people from Cuba, people from Colombia, so there's different types of Spanish words that can be used that mean the same thing. So they want to make sure and help us that so that everyone understands what we're trying to say. Also, they assisted with the packaging. So they really told us what was appealing to Latinas, what pictures we should use, what colors, what we should really be showing participants. And also the curriculum development and based on community needs. So one thing that the Office of Women's Health asked us to do was incorporate mental health. They asked us specifically for domestic violence within their communities because they know through working there that there is a lot of that going on and they want to make sure that we're providing resources to them. As far as the implementation, they helped with recruitment, conducting the health education, data collection, and also monthly support groups. So our teen or, you know, the young adults research assistants worked with the youth, and then our promotoras worked with the moms in the same buildings, just different rooms, and they would be brought together and then separated for different topics. Evaluation, they helped conduct three-month telephone follow-up, which had amazing rates, I think because of their relationship with the community. And then also they helped us to kind of revise and revisit each of the topics. So in order to help us do all this, they received intense training. One of the key things for this project is that we were able to establish a Spanish language and IRB module through Cal State Long Beach. So the center and the university research office worked together to develop something in Spanish for promotoras, which is usually not common, which really it was kind of a condensed IRB module that people usually go through at research universities, where we included the history of IRB, why it's important, condensed Belmont report, human subject participation, recruitment procedures, so try not to coerce people into your interventions, data collection and confidentiality. And after this, they were asked to take a multiple choice test to ensure that they knew what they were talking about, and they became certified after this. So this was a major accomplishment for our project last year. They also received training on the content, so all of the topics that we discussed. Natalia and the project staff revised rigorous tests for them to take, multiple choice tests for them to make sure that they were knowledgeable and ready to go out and educate participants. So a lot of the time you're talking about one thing and participants will ask about another, or sometimes they're really knowledgeable and ask questions that are really hard to answer, so we want to make sure that our promotoras are ready, and if they're not ready, that they can tell the participant, you know, I'm not ready to answer that this time. So we don't want to give out misinformation. Also, they received refresher trainings based on the progress and based on what we saw from the implementation. And also, Natalia in the back did a really good job at training them on how to administer our instruments. So a lot of the time, promoters are asked to hand out their envelope and ask participants to give back. We made sure that participants knew how to fill things out, that they knew what the skip patterns were, and the importance of the evaluation. Sometimes participants are not told why we're collecting the data, which is important, I think, to show them. And again, they received refresher trainings constantly to make sure that we were collecting data in a proper way. So quickly about our intervention, again, Hablando Claro, this is the cover of our curriculum. In this case, we did implement it with PowerPoint because we were working in different community centers in our community in downtown Long Beach and Paramount. Participants were recruited through outreach within each organization's programs, distribution of flyers, and again, presentations again at health fairs and community events, and also word of mouth. Our promotoras, when they were at the center, they would constantly be getting phone calls for people calling in to register, so we do see that they have connections, you know, in the community. The eligibility criteria, they had to be females, intergenerational pairs. Sometimes one mother had three daughters that were eligible, so she would come with three. So it was really interesting to see that family dynamic as well. Had to be at least 12 years of age and older, had to be Latina, and residents of Long Beach or Paramount. So our intervention components, we had one introductory session, which included the consent form process, demographic forms, and pre-knowledge questionnaire, and a quick overview of HIV. And then they came back for 2 4-hour interactive education sessions, which included the educational curriculum, role-play and condom demonstrations, free confidential mobile testing, and also we had our counselor on site. She did have a lot of women approach her, and she also did conduct a lot of referrals to different resources. And then we also conducted 4 monthly support groups for each of the sessions that we conducted in the community. And the sessions varied. We started off and we saw that too many people were coming to one session, so they became smaller. I think we at the end we had about 15 to 20 pairs, which is still a pretty large group. So we had to make sure that we had a few facilitators on staff to facilitate each group. Here are some of the educational curriculum topics. The Office of Women's Health asked us to cover all of these. So it is a lot, but we do find that they were really needed. So communication within the family, also with partners. So we told the teens, if you're not ready to talk about sex with your boyfriend, you shouldn't be having sex, right? So being able to really effectively talk about sex, talk about condoms, talk about fidelity within the relationship. Reproductive anatomy, there was really great activities that the teens were involved in. Sex, sexuality, and homosexuality, so acceptance within the family of the gay community. We did have mothers who came in really worried, you know, I think my daughter might be gay, I'm not sure what to do. So they did come in some of these questions. We were able to have them talk to our counselor and were able to give them resources and reading material to really help them to cope with these situations. Sexually transmitted infections, letting the teens know about chlamydia, especially HIV and AIDS, male and female condoms. They did. We had demonstrations, and we also had props for them to practice with. Mental health, again, depression was a big issue, and then we also covered domestic violence. And then at the very end, we discussed health and Latino culture, so how to really stay healthy, how to use our cultural assets as a family to stay healthy. Activities, some of the activities within each of the curriculum topics are here. So goals between mothers and daughters is about communication, bad phone connections, we have all seen the phone activity, situations between mothers and daughters. La Conquista is one that we all particularly like. It's at the bottom where the mother tries to persuade the daughter into having sex. So the mother's pretending to be a boyfriend. So it's really interesting to see that everyone, the mom's just saying all these things that the daughter's like, hey, I might have heard this before. My mom knows what she's talking about. She's also been here. So it kind of gets them connected. How to use a condom, how to say no, and then just different activities as well. So we really do this to make sure that they're active. They're not just sitting there through a 4-hour lecture, that they're really engaging and, you know, so again, for some of the activities, they're together, and for some of the activities, they're apart. Condom demonstration, they stay apart to make sure that they can do it, you know, without being embarrassed with their mom seeing them, you know, learn how to use a condom. Data collection and measurements, again, we had demographic questionnaires, pre-knowledge questionnaires, post-knowledge that was collected right after the second 4-hour session, and then a 3-month telephone follow-up. Measures, demographics, sexual behavior, sexual health, pregnancy and STIs, and HIV testing, HIV/AIDS knowledge, Latino pride, discrimination, and immigration experience. So some of the preliminary findings, I don't have too much to share. Our evaluator is actually going to be conducting her presentation later today, so I didn't want to share all of her findings. results, we had a total of 396 participants this year, 170 adults and 226 youth, and we had a total of 344 Latinos who participated in the three-month follow-up. So we've experienced lower rates of follow-up at 3 months, and we've seen that with the promotoras, with them coming to the support groups, they really feel connected to the project and are more likely to be able to answer these questions for us either over the phone or they come in and take the test with us. So just some of the demographics. The youth average age was 14 years of age. Mother is 41. Education level, we can see here that 64% of the mothers only had a middle school education. And while the teens were all in middle school or high school based on the eligibility. We can also see that 96% were foreign-born, which goes to show us the differences in terms of acculturation and the way that they're communicating and the way they're experiencing life as teenagers. Mean years in the U.S. for the mothers was about 14. Primary language, again, for the mothers, 96% was Spanish, while only 66% of the youth were speaking Spanish as primary language, which also, again, goes to start to show the differences between the mothers and daughters and the way that they can communicate. Uninsurance, we can see that 15% of the youth did not have insurance, and 41% of the adults did not have insurance. Quickly, HIV knowledge, this is based on a 9-point scale that was developed by our evaluator. At baseline, we can see the differences in pre and post, and also at follow-up. And these were both significantly, we had significant increases in both at baseline and follow-up for both mothers and daughters. This one is one of my favorite, sexual communication frequency. We can see here that we also had increases in adults and youth. And this isn't surprising because in our last intervention that was similar to this, we can see that the youth are always, they have lower communication, so that we always have a harder time trying to get them. But we can see here that their communication has increased. We're also looking at comfort. We're looking at type of communication. So these findings will also be shared. So conclusions, through this intervention, we have confirmed the effectiveness of working with promotoras because they really are the vehicle that drives the interventions. And we can see this based on the high rates of completion and, again, the three-month follow-up. We can see that intergenerational approach to HIV prevention is effective with Latinos and also that we were effective in having over 100 women test for HIV. One thing that was missing from this was the men and the sons because we were working with the Office of Women's Health, so that definitely is the next step, making it a full family approach. And also, again, one of our biggest achievements was the establishment of the Spanish language IRB through Cal State Long Beach. And that is all. Thank you.